Your baby shares your body and your mind. What babies learn in the womb has really captivated me for as long as I can remember. I have spent hours on my own in the library researching their secret lives. When we think about pregnancy, we understandably think about the physical elements, but how babies learn and develop is down to both your body and your mind. In this section, we will run through what babies do in there, how you can really help your baby learn before they're born, and the importance of your emotional well-being. Some of what is to come may sound far-fetched at times, but when you break it down to a cellular level, the most basic structural units of the human body, it makes total sense. What do babies do in the womb? You and your baby are connected in so many ways, and your baby is learning what it's like to be alive through you, your body, and your experiences. Some of the most important development and learning your baby will do is with you during pregnancy. Your bodies are well and truly connected through a cocktail of hormones, sounds, touch, movement, and tastes. In some ways, your baby shares a little bit of everything you do, which is just one of the reasons you needed to draw that sacred circle around yourself from day one. During my travels around the medical library, I came across an exciting field of science called the fetal origins hypothesis. It concludes that when you hold your baby for the first time, they already know so much about you and have already been shaped by you. Unborn babies are aware of sounds, tastes, and to some extent even your mood, so you can start to teach and interact with your baby during pregnancy. Your voice and other sounds. As early as 16 weeks, your baby will start to feel the sound of your voice and will eventually be able to recognize the sound of your voice over anybody else's. This is because your baby is with you all the time. Other sounds need to go through your tummy muscles, tissues, and amniotic fluid around your baby, so sounds from the outside aren't quite as clear as your voice. It's not until around 22 to 24 weeks that your baby's ears are developed enough to hear the noises outside the womb. Once your baby is born, they will also prefer the sound of your voice over anyone else's. There is an interesting study on infant behaviour and development that shows this. It is hard to know what a newborn is thinking because they can't do much when it comes to communicating, but what they can do well is suck. The study analysed sucking to get a better understanding of what newborn babies are thinking. They noted babies' sucking motions and behaviour whilst playing different sounds. Babies tend to suck slower when they are interested in something, and suck quickly if they are bored. The research revealed that newborns show the most interest in their mum's voice, as they generally slowed down sucking whilst they could hear their mum talking. A study by Peter Hepper in Belfast found that women who watched Neighbours daily on TV had babies that responded to the theme tune after birth. They stopped moving, became alert, and their heart rates dropped, suggesting that they actually remembered what they had heard regularly during pregnancy, and it was comforting. Something else that really brought home just how much a baby learns in the womb is a 2010 study where researchers found that babies cry in their mum's accent. French babies cry on a rising note, and German babies cry on a falling note. The different tones imitate their native language. How incredible is that? Although it may not seem like it at times, from birth, your baby will be communicating specifically with you and has even learned how to communicate in your native language. Play your baby music in pregnancy and relax, sway and sing. When your baby is born, they will remember the song and the relaxation associated with it, and this can help to calm them down. Talk to your baby. Your voice is so important to your growing baby. When you speak, not only can your baby hear you, but their whole spine vibrates slightly too, so they can physically feel your voice moving through them. Talking or singing to your baby during pregnancy is such a great way to start bonding. I know it may seem a silly thing to recommend, as you are probably talking throughout the day anyway, but when you direct your attention to your baby and talk to them directly, it is possible that they can sense the change between what you are saying and the emotion behind it. Teaching your baby about food. I often wondered how much babies could taste the food their mums eat in pregnancy. One of the things that inspired my investigation was my dad's reaction to oranges. He hates them. So much so, you can't even peel one near him because it makes him feel sick. Oranges are probably one of my favourite fruits, and it almost annoys me that he makes such a fuss about the smell. I mentioned it to my nan one day, and she said, "Funny you should say that, because when I was pregnant with your dad, the smell of oranges used to make me vomit. I couldn't stand them." My dad is now 56 and showing no signs of getting closer to accepting the smell of an orange. So I wanted to find out if there was a link between what my nan ate in pregnancy and my dad's preferences. Spoiler alert, there's a significant link. By the time you are 32 weeks pregnant, your baby's taste buds are well developed and so are the receptors that allow them to smell. The flavours of what you eat find their way into the amniotic fluid, which is swallowed by your baby. In France, researchers found that babies born to women who ate licorice-flavoured food and drink throughout pregnancy preferred this taste on both their first and fourth day of life. The babies born to women that didn't eat any licorice were not impressed and made signs that translated to yuck. At 6 months old, the babies still showed signs of preferring these tastes. Taste buds do change over time, and there is some research to suggest that the memories in the womb are not carried throughout life and have limitations. So maybe your baby won't be quite as persistent about their exposures in your tummy as my dad is. Bonding in pregnancy. Finding out you are pregnant might have led to thoughts like, is this really a good time? Or, will we have the money? Or, oh my goodness, what are we doing? Pregnancy is daunting, and it can take time to get your head around. After you have done a bit of planning and thinking, try to get a clear idea in your mind that this is the baby you really want to have. Even if it takes you 6 months to get to this thought, this can really help you build a bond with this baby at this time in your life. Creating a bond as early as possible helps to build on your relationship. You can show your baby love before they are born. When you feel happy and excited about your baby, you release happy and relaxing hormones, and your baby receives some of these hormones through your bloodstream. In one study, researchers found that when women watched happy film clips through earphones so that babies couldn't hear, their babies moved more, and when they watched sad film clips, their babies moved less, potentially showing energy conservation due to stress exposure. This particular study only had 10 participants, so it is far too small to prove anything conclusively. But it does hint that there could possibly be a link, and knowing what we do about the release of hormones, it would make sense. Why not give it a try? Thomas R. Verney is one of the world's leading experts on the effect of prenatal and early postnatal environment on personality and development. His book, The Secret Life of the Unborn Child, is a brilliant read. He believes that everything pregnant women feel and are exposed to can, in small ways, influence the development of an unborn baby. You aren't only building a body during pregnancy, you are building a brain, another nervous system, and a human who thinks. The topic of consciousness, of when your baby's brain starts to think, is complex, well debated, and not that well understood. Nonetheless, it is fascinating to understand some of the building blocks and possible timings that come into play for human development. Many experts believe consciousness isn't something that is switched on like a light, but more of a gradual turning up of a dimmer switch, but more research is needed. At around 25 weeks, the peripheral nervous system, nerves relaying movement from the tissues and limbs outside the brain, joins up with the cerebral cortex, part of the brain that is responsible for higher thought processes like memory, attention, and awareness. This is what connects the outside world to the higher brain. This doesn't mean to say that a 25-week-old baby in the womb experiences consciousness like us adults. We really can't compare our adult experience of consciousness and awareness to that of an unborn baby. It does mean that talking to your baby and bonding with this baby at this time during pregnancy is all worthwhile. Feeling stressed. Many of my patients are working during their pregnancy or are busy caring for other children. Life can be stressful, and I know this is another concern for already stressed women. Women are under more pressure than ever before to be successful. We are fighting to be heard in different spaces, for the gender pay gap to be closed, for more career opportunities to be open, to feel happy in our own skin, and to be seen as a good mother. Trying to do it all can lead to mums feeling anxious or perhaps overwhelmed. I want to say here, mamas, you are doing incredible things, and you have nothing to prove to anyone. Keep doing what you are doing. Some studies have concluded that very stressed mums can have babies with a lower birth weight and even an increased risk of premature birth. However, it is important that we look at the whole picture here. Is the woman drinking or smoking? Is she eating well? What is causing the stress? What is her support like? Has she been a victim of discrimination or worried about finances? There is a lot more to the story than just highlighting what high levels of stress are linked to. What you define as a stressful event and what I define as a stressful event will differ. So when studied, it is hard to accurately represent stress exposures. Either way, we do know that too much stress, whatever it is that you define as stressful, for long periods of time, isn't good for your body, whether pregnant or not. So let's take a look at how to manage stress during your pregnancy. The amazing thing about the human brain is that you can change how it functions. Because the part you use the most often are strengthened, practice really does make perfect. Brain-based stress management involves strengthening the wires that promote healthy coping, so the brain becomes wired to favour that pathway. The human brain loves simplicity and patterns. That's why it's so hard to kick a habit. Your brain has been reliant on that pathway for so long, you need to consciously intervene and, in effect, rewire it. I'm not suggesting you start a load of mind management practices now, but there are some easy things you can do to manage the normal, yet emotional, ups and downs of pregnancy and your stress levels. The neocortex part of the brain helps to process information, and it is also one of the most modern parts of our brain. The amygdala, where we tend to process stress and aggression, is more primal. We needed that part more a few hundred years ago, but it can still become active when we are presented with something that's stressful and alarming. What that means for us nowadays is that the body struggles to tell the difference between needing to run from a tiger or needing to meet a deadline. Through the release of hormones, it puts your body in a heightened state of awareness, making you feel on edge. A lot of experts agree that babies are negatively affected by stress levels if the increase in cortisol is often or for long periods of time. If you've had an argument with your partner or feel stressed about a work deadline, please don't worry, because some stress can even be a good lesson for unborn babies. Stress is a normal part of life, and babies need some exposure to stress hormones to help them learn how to manage it. There is even a link between short-term stress exposure and brain maturity. The key to keeping stress exposure on the healthy side is to ensure you calm down and come out of that heightened state of awareness after feeling stressed, anxious, or having a disagreement. In any stressful or difficult situation, the best thing you can do is stop and consciously re-regulate your body's stress response. You can quickly and easily do this by taking deep breaths. Breathe in deeply, hold for 2 seconds, and then breathe out through your mouth for 4 seconds. Repeat 5 times. If you are at work and need to calm down, go to the loo, lock the door, and do your breathing exercise. No one's going to question a pregnant woman needing a wee. Even better, go out for a brisk walk and a change of scene, or sit on a park bench and do some mindful breathing. Author of Eat, Pray, Love, Elizabeth Gilbert, says, "My hobby is writing, but my job is my mental health." I'm fascinated by her and thought that was such an interesting way of looking at our work-life balance. During the third trimester, your baby's neurological development is at its peak. So if you are still working or busy looking after others, planning or decorating, make sure you take time out to have a breather, to relax, and let your baby know everything is okay. We can all get wrapped up in the fast pace of life, but calming your mind and your body is essential. Aim for 10 minutes each day dedicated to relaxation. Literally, give yourself time out. Those minutes make a difference to your mental state, leading to a change in your physiological state. Hypnobirthing is also a great way of doing this. If something keeps coming back to worry you, then try to get out in natural surroundings. Forests, parks, and longer walks have been shown to reduce the stress-related hormone cortisol by up to 12%. Within 5 minutes, your body and brain start to change. Your heart rate slows, your facial muscles relax, and the neocortex quietens down, that internal chatter we all have. Florence Williams, the author of Nature Fix, Why Nature Makes Us Happier, Healthier, and More Creative, looks at how nature impacts human health on various levels. She found the smell of pine trees can actually strengthen the immune system. If you spend an hour and a half walking around nature with live plants and animals, your personal problems no longer take centre stage and you begin to feel more connected to the people and world around you. Finnish researchers found being in nature for 5 hours alone can make you happier. In Japan, Shinrin-yoku, forest bathing, has been part of the National Health Programme since 1982 and is supported as a treatment by well-respected doctors. I live in London and Cornwall, and when I step off the train at either end, I can physically feel the change in atmosphere. In some cities, it is almost like everyone has been given the challenge of looking like they are the busiest, and their destination is the most important. Sometimes I find myself putting on a serious face to scroll through my Pinterest boards just to fit in. If you live in a city or built-up town, have a weekend away, out of the city, and visit the countryside or sea. Physically being in open space can help give you some mental space too. Until you get out, you don't realise how claustrophobic cities can be. A holiday is always a good idea for reducing stress. It's up to you, your GP, and airline whether or not you can fly in the second trimester, but most airlines won't let you fly after 37 weeks. If you do fly during your pregnancy, ensure you keep well hydrated on the flight and wear compression stockings to prevent blood clots. Walk up and down the plane and move your ankles around in circles to help circulation. If getting out of the city just isn't realistic for you, then invest in some houseplants. You can pick them up for a few quid, and there are some really cool hanging plants you can get too. My friend got an apartment in a dingy part of a city, but once she opens up her flat door, it doesn't matter. She's got these amazing plants all around her place that really bring it to life. Yoga and meditation are also great for managing stress, and there are plenty of pregnancy yoga classes to try. The best guided meditation I have ever listened to is by Muji. It's free on YouTube, called Guided Meditation, Full of Joy. Short daily meditation changed my life. Let it go. Depending on what is happening during your pregnancy, simply forgetting your worries and being happy can be hard at times. But it is possible if you work on how you are feeling. Not everyone feels happy throughout their pregnancy, and that's okay. As long as the majority of the time you are feeling content with how things are going, it's okay to feel nervous or worried. You're on a journey you've never trodden before. Even if this is your second or third baby, it is a different baby, time, and therefore experience, so a bit of nervousness goes with the territory. I don't want to normalise anxiety, because anxiety can be crippling, but in all honesty, a certain amount of anxiety can be normal. Accepting and dealing with your personal circumstances may be difficult, especially if things are not turning out the way you expected. Even if they are, worrying about losing your identity, a changing relationship with your partner, how having a baby will impact your career, missing your old life, not being able to cope, or what could happen is common, especially with first-time mums. The what if can start to go on repeat in your mind. There's a well-known acronym that describes fear. F, false. E, evidence. A, appearing. R, real. It explains why so much of what we fear isn't always real or may never happen. If this is the case, accept your fear for what it is and then try to let it go. It is easy to dwell on things that might go wrong during pregnancy or birth, but it doesn't actually help you, and you spend all that time worrying about something that might never happen. Learning to let go of things is not only a brilliant tool to have in your locker, and probably why all adults can relate to Frozen's song, Let It Go, but it's also useful for parenthood too. Get some exercise. Another way to help manage stress and clear your mind is exercise. From getting your blood pumping to helping you focus on something else, exercise can help keep a handle on the hormonal ups and downs of pregnancy. Louise Gabitas, the midwife that got to the 2019 final of Channel 4's SAS Who Dares Wins, has got some serious strength. But interestingly, she doesn't just focus on the physical benefits of exercise. They are kind of secondary to why she trains. Here are some ideas to help you let it go. Feeling like you have too much to handle right now? Here are some ideas to help you lighten the mental load. Cut down on the stuff that stresses you out or doesn't make you feel good. This sounds obvious, but it may not be when you're in and amongst it. Feel free to say no to going to that event or the extra bit of work you should do. Stay in your sacred circle. It's okay to say no to people who want things from you. Unless you have a formal contract, you're not responsible for anyone else's happiness or obliged to fulfill their wishes if you don't want to. Even if you have a formal agreement, everything is negotiable to a certain extent. Cut the unnecessary crap down or out of your life. We've all got it, but pregnancy is a time to say, nah, not today. You've got enough on your plate, and having unnecessary extras can add to your feeling of nervousness. If there's stuff you normally do but are struggling to manage, ask for help and offload things. There's no shame in doing this, even if that's with the simplest of things. Also, communicate with your partner or friends about how you are feeling. It makes a huge difference, and you might not need to ask for help as it may then be offered. Talk about how you are feeling to anyone you trust. Sometimes simply talking to someone puts things into perspective, minimises your worries and gets them out of your head into the open. Offloading helps you to process your emotions and thoughts properly. Start a daily gratitude log. This has been proven to reduce symptoms of depression. Think about every tiny thing you are grateful for every day. At first, just take 30 seconds to think of three things you're grateful for and jot them down. Like your warm, comfy bed, your nourishing breakfast, access to running water, your friends, family, and anyone in your life who you love. The basic things you may have, but not everyone in the world does. Welcome and remember all the positive and amazing things you have in your life. Then, if you want, build up to more personal things, like your ability to see things more clearly and get excited for your baby's birth. Then add those in too. Have a quick daily thank you or a longer, more thought-out list. After a stressful event or day at work, it is important to down-regulate. First, acknowledge that it was stressful and upsetting. Let the emotion out and then down-regulate using the breathing techniques we mentioned earlier. When astronauts talk about their experience of looking down at Earth, they say it's liberating. Seeing Earth from a distance makes them realise how small their own problems are. My friend's a psychologist, and if I get overwhelmed, she often reminds me, we're all bacteria on a rock. to the universe anyway. Get some exercise. Another way to help manage stress and clear your mind is exercise. From getting your blood pumping to helping you focus on something else, exercise can help keep a handle on the hormonal ups and downs of pregnancy. Louise Gabitas, the midwife that got to the 2019 final of Channel 4's SAS Who Dares Wins, has got some serious strength. But interestingly, she doesn't just focus on the physical benefits of exercise. They are kind of secondary to why she trains. She works nights, does CrossFit competitions, and still finds time to train daily. I thought she made some really brave and bold moves on SAS. For any of you who didn't watch it, she chose to fight a man and threw herself off the edge of a cliff, with no hesitation. I asked her what exercise does for her mental health and if she had any tips for you. She said, "I've always said that the goal of training or exercise is good health and fitness. Good health includes being mentally healthy too. Good health and fitness looks different at each stage of pregnancy, and it is also different from person to person. It is important to remember that. Exercise offers a chance for you to do something positive for yourself, which has the added benefit of making you feel good. It may sound a bit selfish, but actually, we have come to realise that if we don't look after our own physical and mental health, then we can't give our best selves to others, which is what most mothers and mothers-to-be want to be able to do. Be the best mother they can. Exercise during pregnancy will only be positive. It gets endorphins flowing, which produces a positive feeling in the body, making you feel better about yourself, both physically and mentally. With the increasing options and variety of ways of keeping fit, the motivation could be that it is something you genuinely enjoy doing so that it doesn't become a thing to fit in, rather a part of your day you look forward to. Looking after yourself means so much more than trying to keep fit. It's about giving yourself and your family the healthiest version of you so that everything becomes more enjoyable. If the mental aspects and release of happy hormones aren't enough to sway you, a study at Queen Mary University of London might. Researchers found that women who eat healthily and stay active in pregnancy cut their chance of needing a cesarean section. The research looked at data from 12,500 women across 16 countries and found that women of any weight who consumed a healthy diet and did regular exercise in pregnancy reduced excessive weight gain, gestational diabetes, and the risk of requiring a cesarean section. Winning. Researchers found no strong evidence to suggest that exercise and a healthy diet had a negative effect on the baby, such as being small or large for gestational age, or needing admission to a neonatal intensive care unit. Remember, exercise doesn't have to be strenuous to be beneficial, and you should never start any strenuous exercise you've not done pre-pregnancy. If you usually work out, ensure your exercises are adapted for pregnancy and always tell a trainer or instructor that you are pregnant. Gentle swims, joining a pregnancy yoga or Pilates class, or going for some brisk walks are all great ways to exercise. "I wish I didn't go for a walk," said no one ever. Do you feel depressed? Having said all that, using the above self-help tools doesn't mean you should ignore feelings of depression or developing anxieties. Some women do experience mental health problems for the first time during pregnancy, and anxiety and depression are the most common. If the balance has tipped and you no longer feel happy the majority of the time, then you need to properly address how you are feeling. It's okay to admit this to yourself, to your partner, and to healthcare professionals. Opening up is the best thing you can do. Steps to clear your mind. Feeling fed up? Have these ideas up your sleeve. Remove yourself from the stress, even if that's for 5 minutes in the loo. Downregulate, breathe, or walk. Get out in nature as much as possible, especially forests or open spaces. meditate, and/or join a yoga class. Say no, ask for help, offload, and start a gratitude log. Exercise. Dr. Rebecca Moore, consultant perinatal psychiatrist and co-founder of Make Birth Better, says, "As a perinatal psychiatrist, I work with women and their families to support their mental health through pregnancy and after birth. For almost all of us, pregnancy and early motherhood is a time where we feel our moods are changeable, often in response to being tired and adapting to becoming a new mum. However, for some women, these mood changes persist and they have episodes of depression, anxiety, or obsessive thoughts. This can happen in pregnancy and in the postnatal period. I want women to know that this is common and they are not a bad mum. Please don't be afraid to speak up if you feel your mood is low all the time or you can't enjoy life. Or you may feel agitated and anxious all the time and not able to eat or sleep well. It can seem so scary, but try to tell someone, a partner, your GP, or health visitor, or someone on a helpline, like the one run by Pre and Postnatal Depression Advice and Support, PANDAS Foundation. Often talking to someone can be a huge relief. It can help you feel heard and less alone. Support and healing can come in many ways: peer support, exercise, therapy, medication, or supplements. You can and will feel better. You are a good mum, even if you are anxious or depressed. Sometimes women worry about telling healthcare professionals if they are feeling anxious or depressed because they are worried about being judged as a parent or think the worst, that their baby will be taken away from them. It really doesn't work like that. Supporting a woman and keeping a mum and baby together are always top priority for all professionals. Being open can help prevent depression and anxiety from worsening and ensure that you get the right support you need. Please don't be afraid to tell your midwife, health visitor, or GP if you think you might be developing any mental health problems. There are specialist teams, psychiatrists like Rebecca, and midwives for managing mental health in pregnancy, which you may be referred to. These specialists will only want you to be the best version of yourself. They will offer a range of other options most suitable for you, from therapy to medication, and you can also find out about local support groups. If you have had a mental illness in the past, you are more likely to become ill during pregnancy or in the first year after giving birth than at any other time in your life. The fluctuating hormones and a general feeling of unknown can exacerbate existing conditions, so be aware of this and once again speak to your midwife, GP, or health visitor about any current or pre-existing mental health problems. We are there to help you in the best way possible. Walking into motherhood like. You are walking into motherhood, and no matter how it presents itself, you will come out stronger, fiercer, and more intuitive. You have got this. Trust yourself, your own path, and your body. You can always talk to your midwife if you are struggling with any mental health problems. We are here to support you and care for you and your baby. Key points. Your nervous systems are well and truly connected. Your baby is learning what it's like to be alive through you. Your voice can be heard by your baby. Talk to your baby. Build a bond with this baby at this time. Emotions are chemicals in the blood that can be changed. Use steps to manage your emotional well-being. Talk to your midwife or GP if you are struggling with any mental health issues as soon as possible. Maternity leave. It might seem early on in the book to talk about maternity leave, but you do need to think about it sooner rather than later. Whether you choose to tell your employer right away is up to you. It will depend on how you are feeling and what appointments you need to take, and if they will be during work time. Here are some of the terms you might hear. Statutory maternity leave is 52 weeks. It's made up of ordinary and additional. Ordinary maternity leave is the first 26 weeks. Additional maternity leave is the last 26 weeks. You may also be entitled to take some of your leave as shared parental leave. You do not have to take 52 weeks, but you must take 2 weeks after giving birth, or 4 weeks if you work in a factory. Maternity leave laws vary around the world and can vary from woman to woman in the UK too, depending on your work situation. In the UK, during pregnancy, you have 4 main legal rights. These are paid time off for antenatal care, maternity leave, maternity pay or maternity allowance, protection against unfair treatment, discrimination or dismissal. You can take paid time off for antenatal care, and it is worth knowing that this applies to all medical appointments and some antenatal or parenting classes, if you've been recommended to attend these by your doctor or your midwife. You could also be entitled to get a one-off payment to help towards the cost of having a baby, known as Sure Start Maternity Grant. You can ask your midwife for more details about this, but generally you qualify for the grant if both of the following apply. You are expecting your first child, or you're expecting twins and have children already. You or your partner already get certain benefits. You need to claim the grant within 11 weeks of your baby's due date or within 6 months after your baby's birth. Telling your employer. Legally, you do not need to tell your employer about your pregnancy at least 15 weeks before the beginning of the week your baby is due. You do not need to tell them before then, but if you're going to appointments, it is usually easier to tell them. There may be other considerations you need to make too, such as if you work in an environment that might be detrimental to your health. When you tell your employer about your pregnancy, they need to assess any risks to you and your baby. Risks could be caused by things like heavy lifting or carrying, standing or sitting for long periods without adequate breaks, exposure to toxic substances, and working long hours. If there are any risks, then your employer needs to take reasonable steps to remove the risks. For example, offering you different work or changing your hours. If your workplace cannot remove any risks, then they should agree to let you take a break, on full pay, or they can move you to another role. Maternity leave and statutory maternity pay will start automatically if you are off work for any pregnancy-related illness in the 4 weeks before the baby is due, and it does not matter what has been previously agreed. Sadly, maternity discrimination is not uncommon worldwide, and the UK is no exception. In 2015, an Equality and Human Rights Commission report estimated that 54,000 women a year lose their jobs as a result of maternity discrimination in the UK alone. But the full picture is possibly being masked by the widespread abuse of non-disclosure agreements, NDA. Social media influencers, charities, and mums have made sure government officials are paying attention to the widespread problem of maternity discrimination. MP Maria Miller said in 2019, "I'm proposing a completely new approach with a new law I am presenting to Parliament. The Protection and Maternity Redundancy Protection Bill to prohibit redundancy during pregnancy and maternity leave and for the 6 months after the end of the pregnancy or leave, except in specified circumstances. This new law mirrors the approach taken in Germany and has support from members of all the main political parties in Westminster, as well as Maternity Action, the charity that campaigns for the rights of pregnant women. With over 15 million women in the UK working and more than 500,000 giving birth every year, we need to make sure that they and their families are supported. Family life and our economy will both suffer unless workplace practices are improved and effective protection against redundancy is an important place to start. If you are unsure of your maternity rights and allowance at your workplace, then you need to speak to your employer or HR department as soon as possible. If you have been a victim of maternity discrimination already, Then your first step should be to contact the Employment Relations Organisation, ACAS. There is also a lot of helpful information on their website for more general questions. If you are self-employed, to get the full amount of maternity allowance, you must have paid Class 2 National Insurance for at least 13 of the 66 weeks before your baby's due. The Department of Work and Pensions, DWP, will check if you've paid enough when you make your claim, and they'll write to you if you have not. If you have not paid enough Class 2 National Insurance, you'll still get a payment, so do ask. You may be able to get the full rate by making extra National Insurance payments. HM Revenue and Customs, HMRC, will send you a letter to tell you how. Your partner's on a journey too. Now we've covered some of the biggest changes that you face, it is time to shift our attention onto your partner and relationship. This part of the book is about simple ways to help you build strong foundations for your growing family. It is important here that you put a different hat on, just for a minute, and see things from your partner's perspective. I know that not everyone is in a relationship or has a partner, so if this section isn't for you, skip to the next section. Most of the research into partners during pregnancy is based on dads and men. I know this is not reality for a lot of couples now, but at the time of writing, there is a lack of research into same-sex couples. However, the research we will go into, along with the tips and comments from partners, are helpful for all couples. I hope my intention of helping all couples in the way that it is meant to comes across. Pregnancy is such an important time for your relationship. Now is the time to invest in your relationship to build a strong foundation in preparation for the changes ahead. It's a worthwhile investment because conflict is, more often than not, avoidable. Many couples report experiencing more conflict within the first year after having a baby. I know that may be daunting to hear, but that doesn't have to be you. When couples are tired, hormones are in turmoil, tensions are running high, and tolerance is running low, it is all too easy to slip into a disagreement. You might have to dig deep at times, but it is ever so worth it. Relationship functioning and maternal mental health are also linked. In Diane Spear's book, Life After Birth, she explains that relationship dissatisfaction is one of the strongest indicators for maternal psychological distress. Although I think there are many factors that affect postnatal mental health, and more research, specifically into relationships, is needed, I don't doubt she has a very good point. Here's a little insider info I've learned. Over the years, I asked the couples that appeared to be the happiest and closest what the secret was. I was expecting some huge revelations and real insight, but was left surprised at the very simple solutions most of them gave. Don't nitpick, and never forget what made you fall in love, were the most common answers. Many couples agreed that bickering was a waste of time, and it could cause spirals into unnecessary arguments. I know this is so simple and obvious, but remembering what it is that you really love about your partner may help when you are under strain too. Kind words will unlock an iron door. Turkish proverb. The most endearing examples of love I have seen are when each partner really empathises and the other is truly committed to being with them on their journey. The ability to see and feel things from another's perspective is one of our species' most powerful cognitive abilities. This level of empathy goes both ways. Remember that your partner may not be physically pregnant, but they will be experiencing all kinds of emotions and worries too. They may not want to worry you, but you and your baby are often at the forefront of their mind. Have you ever been in a situation where you need to just stand and observe a loved one, do or go through something? Did you almost wish that you could do or go through it for them? Maybe you got more stressed about it than they did. Having to stand back is a difficult position to be in. Feeling helpless is hard to swallow, yet it is something most partners feel at some point on their journey. Partners sometimes get pregnancy symptoms like nausea and hormonal ups and downs too. And it's common for people to laugh at men, especially, who have admitted this. It must be horrible to feel sick and out of sorts and then either not be able to admit it or be laughed at if you do. The science backs up these feelings. One study found higher levels of the hormone prolactin and lower levels of testosterone in men who reported two or more pregnancy symptoms, like altered appetite, fatigue, nausea, and weight gain. Studies in Denmark showed fathers have high levels of anxiety, insecurity, and inadequacy during pregnancy that are not addressed because the focus is on mum and baby. New Macho is a company that is dedicated to help brands grow through creating a new male narrative. Their recent research and findings have clearly shown how harmful stereotypes can be. I spoke to Fernando de Souche, the managing director and father of two, to find out more about his mission and personal experience. He said, "Becoming a father is one of the biggest transformations that money can't buy. I'm a father of two sons and started New Macho, the specialised marketing to men arm of the brand and cultural transformation company, BBD Perfect Storm. When I realised how many men are performing the life that is expected for them to live, instead of being and acting as who they really are. I believe that brand communications can play a fundamental role in helping men to define a new aspiration that serves them, rather than adding pressure. There are several changes, physical and psychological, that affect men when their first baby is born. Lack of sleep and increased responsibilities are the ones we might be aware of. But other major changes also happen. There is a reduction in the level of father's testosterone. We start an unconscious process of identification with our own fathers. This, in turn, can connect us to unfinished business that might arise. Additionally, the increase in caring responsibility is magnified by the lack of rite of passage for men in our society. Nobody teaches us how to become adult men, and many men are not psychologically ready to deal with this change. In the best cases of this situation, fathers are forced to learn by doing. With these considerations, it is not surprising that 70% of men report feeling increased stress when they become fathers for the first time. Another tricky factor is that 1 in 4 also feel isolated during the first 12 months. Men talk less than women about their mental health issues and are less inclined to seek help. Many men feminize the idea of taking care of themselves or asking for support. They think it is the mark of a man to deal with his own shit. In this case, we all need to help, and it would be great to normalize this message. This would reduce the stress and achieve better connections between men and their families in the first year of the new baby to make it an even more enjoyable experience. In the first stage, preparatory messaging targeting future fathers, targeting them around all the emotions to come. Additionally, employers should play a role in facilitating more flexible paternity leave policies, supported with messaging to encourage first-time dads to talk to relatives and/or experts if needed. But at the same time, becoming a father can be a fantastic opportunity for men to reconnect with their sense of purpose. What is the legacy he wants to leave for his son or daughter? It's time to see the big picture and reconnect with who we really are, with our values, and what we do, or can do, to live them. I know it is a long-standing sort of joke about men having no idea what it's like, but although this is true, it does have limitations, and they are very much on a journey too. Your midwife is an advocate for you. The word midwife literally means with woman. But I also think it is time we addressed and listened to how a lot of partners feel. Here are a few more quotes from some of my friends about how they really felt during pregnancy and at the birth. First-time dad and husband of a midwife. I was worried that I wouldn't be able to help her enough because I wasn't going through what she was. At times, I felt distant because I didn't know things that she knew about the baby. I remember one time I asked to feel the baby kicking, and she said, "She's asleep." I don't know why, but I felt hurt in a way. I think she thought that I wasn't excited. But I just felt kind of silly for asking, so I didn't anymore. First time dad. Every appointment I went to, I was pretty much ignored. It was almost like I did my bit by getting her pregnant, then I was ignored. I'd do it all again, and I know it's not about me. It just felt like my presence wasn't needed, and I wasn't really a part of the conversation or asked much. Then, at the birth, I was expected to know what to do, and I just didn't. I wish I had spoken up about how I felt more, but typical bloke, I didn't feel like I could say. First time mum. Towards the end of the pregnancy, I was worried that something would happen to my girlfriend and the baby, but I didn't want to worry her, so I didn't say how I felt. That was one of the hardest parts, trying to be her rock and also hide that I was really worried. What you can both do. Talking to your partner about feelings benefits you both in the long run. Check in often with your other half and ask them how they're feeling about the pregnancy, birth, and becoming a parent, because this can give them the opportunity they may need to let you know how they are feeling. Think of it like a flight. You can't get on board without checking in, and you both need to be on board the flight. Studies have shown that when partners are educated and involved, postnatal depression is reduced and breastfeeding is more successful. Communication is the anchor of any kind of human interaction. We all know how a few simple words can completely change a person's whole state of mind. Words are the most powerful drug known to man. Kipling. Your partner's involvement. Something that really helps with partner involvement is attending appointments. Encourage your partner to come to as many appointments as possible. That way, they are up to date, so communication and planning are far easier for the both of you. The appointment is also a chance for them to ask questions. When I ask partners if they have questions, quite often they do. They just need someone to address them, so they feel able to say what's on their mind. If the midwife doesn't ask your partner directly, then you can perhaps ask if they have any questions before you leave. The quote from a dad that felt like he wasn't important or needed is sad, and it may have impacted his early experience of fatherhood. Even if your partner doesn't have any questions, the fact that someone is listening and addressing them changes the whole dynamic of the conversation. Whether the partner is male or female is completely irrelevant, as long as they are supportive. Dr. Thomas Verney, psychiatrist. Being at the appointments means your partner will be able to hear your baby's heartbeat and see the scans. Any mystery is reduced and can help the partner feel more at ease, connected, but most importantly, involved. The feeling of involvement is essential for bonding. You know when you've not spoken to an old friend for a while and then she calls and asks, "How are you? What's happening?" It's kind of hard to answer because you aren't sure where to start. If your partner doesn't come to appointments regularly, they can slip out of the loop and get slices of information. Your partner may also be able to help you after the appointment if you've forgotten something at a later date. It's another set of ears. I know it may not be realistic for your partner to come to every single appointment, but the most important ones are the scans, so they can physically see your baby moving and see their little hands and toes. The 25-week, if it's your first, or 28-week, if you've had a baby before, appointment is also a good one to attend, because you'll hear your baby's heartbeat, your tummy will be measured, and you can see your baby's growth together. Lastly, the 36-week appointment is usually when your birth plan will be discussed, and if your partner plans to be at the birth, this one is so useful to attend. If work commitments are an issue, You can always ask your midwife about appointment times that are more suitable for your partner. Some clinics are held on a weekend. Legally, the minimum amount of unpaid leave a partner is entitled to is 2 appointments, each lasting up to 6.5 hours. After that, they can take annual leave or request further unpaid leave. It is rare that employers are difficult at this time, but if taking time off is becoming an issue, you need to liaise with ACAS. Let your partner do this, because you don't want or need the hassle. If your partner really can't make appointments, then why not record your baby's heartbeat for them to hear later? If you decide to go to antenatal classes, taking your partner makes the world of difference. First of all, they get the heads up on what to expect. Secondly, they can really help you make decisions about what you want and support you. And thirdly, they also get to meet other partners who are expecting. No longer is pregnancy and birth women's business that partners are ushered away from. Knowing what to expect and how to prepare helps them to help you. When you or your midwife talk about things like pain relief or colostrum, they will know what you mean and won't feel left out of the conversation or silly for not knowing. It is also good for your partner to socialise. Couples tend to bond and meet up outside of the classes too. I know couples that met at antenatal classes 10 years ago and still holiday together today. Another thing that can help is buying and choosing things for the baby together. Suggest that your partner picks out an outfit for the baby. This may be the only time your partner actually enjoys going shopping with you. It is so exciting, and it makes it more real for your partner too. They need to think about all the practicalities of having a newborn, what is needed, and how to use the products as well as you do. A lot of shops give parents demonstrations and safety advice on things like car seats or prams, so if you buy these items together, they will also know how to use the kit they will also be using regularly. You may have a lot on your mind, so once again, it's an extra pair of ears and shared decision-making. Lastly, invest in time together. Have date nights and set aside time to just spend on each other. It doesn't need to be anything extravagant, even just a weekly exercise routine. Sitting at the table and dedicating times to eat and catch up, or regular evening strolls together, is enough. This is a lot easier when it is your first baby, but it is still important to dedicate time to each other if you already have children. Asking your partner to do something with you makes them feel valued too. They can feel a bit left out or less important during pregnancy, especially when the focus is on you and the baby. By no means am I suggesting that the focus shouldn't be on you. It should. But it is important to remember your partner is also going through a major life change. They need to process their emotions and may be anxious, worried, or uncertain about how to help. When you catch up regularly, you understand each other better. Let's talk about sex, baby. Let's cut to the chase. Yes. Sex is safe for the majority of women. Your baby is protected by your cervix, mucus plug, sounds grim, but it is a really helpful guard, and amniotic sac, your waters. If you have been told you have a cervical erosion, cells that are normally inside the cervix are seen on the outside too, or any changes to your cervix, this can cause some spotting, drops of blood after sex. To make sure it is safe for you, ask your midwife or doctor. If your waters are broken, or if you are in a polygamous relationship, then you need to avoid sex to reduce the risk of infection. Lastly, if you are at risk of preterm labour, you should avoid sex too. The truth about sex during pregnancy is that every woman is different. Some women's sex drive completely changes, and they think about or want sex all the time. The significant increase in blood flow to the pelvic region may explain the sudden accelerated sex drive. My friend told me that for the first time in their marriage, her husband had to turn me down because he was too tired. Other women want more sexual encounters, but not penetrative sex. And for some, The thought of sex makes them want to vomit. All of these reactions are normal. Whether or not you want sex is down to a range of things like hormones, how you feel about your body, if you have pelvic pain, and how pregnant you are. Not wanting sex is not a reflection of how you feel about your partner, and usually your sex drive returns when you are ready. Position-wise, see what is most comfortable for you, but the spooning position is popular. It seems to be most comfortable for everything, boobs, bump, and pelvis. If there is a problem. I know this section has all been about bonding, love, and seeing things from your partner's point of view, but I also need to be honest with you about abusive behaviour. The majority of partners are caring, and this section in the book may well help to support all of their positive traits. However, sadly, it is well known that domestic abuse increases and can even start during pregnancy more than any other time. Victim Support UK recently revealed that 30% of domestic violence cases occur for the first time in pregnancy. Always remember that midwives and healthcare professionals are here to help and support you. We are here to protect you, and we really care about you and your baby's well-being. Professionals won't judge you, so please don't feel embarrassed to come to us. You will not be the first or last to tell us, and domestic abuse can happen to anyone. If you are scared of your partner or what they might do, please do not wait to tell your midwife, as there are many people that can help too. Emergency contacts are Reach 0800 088 4194 or Domestic Abuse Helpline 0808 200 0247. Key points. Invest in and build your family foundations during pregnancy. Your partner is on their own journey too, so try to be mindful of that. Coming to appointments matters, and you both have a legal right to a time off. Your relationship is important. Communicate, catch up, and dedicate time to each other. Acknowledge and act upon any abnormal behaviour. Midwives are always here to help, as well as many other people. You are never alone.